Let's pray and let's commit the rest of the meeting unto the Lord. Seek his blessing upon the word. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come again, Lord, into your tabernacle, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that we can come pleading the blood of the Lamb. For there's no other way to come before a holy God but through the blood. We thank you, Lord, for the remembrance of you, Lord, around the table, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice, Lord, which redeemed our souls, Lord. And we come now, Lord, and we continue to worship you in the word, and we thank you for the praises that have gone up. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost fire will move and brood upon this tabernacle, that flesh will be hid away. Man will not be seen, Lord, only Christ. We ask it, Lord, for your glory, and in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Spiritual warfare, part two. We did part one last week, and there's too much to go into. I'm going to do a brief overview of last week. If you want to watch it, you haven't seen it, it's online there. You can go and you can take a look. But there's far too much to go into, and there's far too much to go over to really go over that again. Brief overview of where we got to from last week. We were in 1 Samuel chapter 9, 1 to 2. And it spoke in those verses of Saul being the highest in Israel. Being the tallest, being a choice man. Being a good looking man. Being a fair man. A man that the world would look at. And a man that the world would show respect to. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, Saul is symbolically anointed by Samuel, who went to Bethlehem to anoint him. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's publicly presented as king. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul does not completely obliterate the Amalekites. He doesn't carry out what the Lord has told him to do. He doesn't completely obliterate, and he takes animals for sacrifice, and he says, "I will sacrifice unto the Lord." But the Lord told him not to sacrifice, to completely obliterate. And the Lord wasn't looking for sacrifice. The Lord was looking for obedience, which he failed to do. He failed to carry that out. In 1 Samuel 16 and 14, Saul is no longer divinely empowered. He has no longer got anointing upon him. And he cannot fight, and he cannot lead Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel the prophet goes to Bethlehem to anoint the shepherd boy in the fields who nobody gave a thought about, who nobody cared about. They lined up the sons, and God says to Samuel, "I have refused all these. Is there nobody else?" He says, "Yes, there's a shepherd in the fields, but he's not up to much." And Samuel says, "Go and get him." He brings him in and they anoint him. His anointing comes upon him. And he's anointed king over Israel. And we talked about the thread that went through these chapters. The thread of David being a foreshadow and a type of Christ. We went to Matthew chapter 1, 1 to 16. And it started off the generation of Christ from Abraham to David and right through to Christ. In Matthew chapter 1. And so David was a foreshadow. David was a type of Christ. David was a sign of the coming Messiah. David, the shepherd boy from Bethlehem, chosen and anointed of God from the land of the tribe of Judah, a king. And David means beloved. And did the father not say, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased"? And now we take it up again. And we go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. And we left off last week in part 1 at the verse 2. 1 Samuel 17 and starting at verse 20. "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper." David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. And David, by the way, is going out to do battle. David has a reason to leave the sheep. David's going out to do battle. But David makes sure that when he leaves the sheep with a keeper. You see, whenever trouble came, the anointed of God stepped forward into the battle. And David makes sure when he goes forward into the battle that he leaves the sheep with a keeper. He didn't leave the sheep on their own. He didn't leave the sheep to be scattered. He didn't skulk about in his manse. He didn't skulk about on his manse, and he didn't say there's a war to be fought, but I'm afraid and I'm dismayed, and I'm going to leave the sheep on their own to be scattered. And he didn't skulk about, and he wasn't afraid, and he didn't close the doors. There's a lesson to be learnt in that. And there's a lesson to be learnt in that for the future, by the way. And what happened in the past when the doors weren't closed will be the same in the future. The doors will not be closed. Amen. The doors will not be closed. You don't leave the sheep on their own to be scattered. And when there's a war to be fought, and if you're anointed of God, you go and fight it regardless of the consequences. Aren't you glad in Christ Encounters Tabernacle that you had a pastor and you had a leadership who didn't close the doors? He did everything he could to keep it going. And thank God for him. He's my pastor. He's your pastor. And I thank him for him. I thank the Lord for him. The sheep were left on their own. There was no keeper and they were scattered. And the amount of people that I meet now who have stopped going to church, who have anxiety and depression, and were left on their own and were scattered. And I blame the shepherds. If they're shepherds at all, and if they're anointed of God at all, the buck stops with them. Because they were appointed to look after the sheep which Christ bought with his own blood until he returns. The buck stops with them. You do not leave the sheep unattended. And David rose up early in the morning and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. And that's a picture of the father sending the son. Jesse sends David out, and that's a picture of the father sending the son and saying, you're going to have to go to earth. You're going to have to go to the trenches, and you're going to have to go and push forward the battle. You're going to have to enter the battle and bring the gospel, and bring the gospel to the lost. It's a picture of the father sending the son. And David runs on errand. David runs on errand in verse 20. And the chance of Goliath catches his attention and what he's saying. Go down to verse 26 of the chapter. And David spake to the men that stood by him. Listen to this. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Defy the armies of Israel, the living God. Goliath seems invincible to Israel, but by faith David saw him as he was, a man outside the covenant of God and mocking the sovereign Lord. And that word reproach means disgrace and shame. There was disgrace and there was shame upon Israel. Why did no one step forward for 40 days? And there's many ways you can answer that question. The shame and the reproach was upon Israel. And nobody stepped forward for 40 days. You think about that. For 40 days, Goliath came out morning and evening with his chant, mocking God, mocking Israel. And for 40 days, not one could step forward. There was fear and dismay. A lesson maybe in patience. A lesson in faith, testing and trial maybe. What relationship was there between Israel and God? the same relationship that there was between Saul and God. We know Saul's situation now before God. So the same relationship. Godless leadership. Is there no one to do warfare in all the camp? Is there no one to do warfare in all the camp? Is everyone afraid? Is everyone dismayed? The humiliation of it all. Is there no one in the Church of God? Is there no one in the United Kingdom government? Is there no one filled with the Holy Ghost to do spiritual warfare? Dismay and shame is across the United Kingdom. And who will step forward and take away the reproach, the shame, and the disgrace that the United Kingdom has turned into? Why? Because of the church. Because of spineless, gutless men behind these desks. No anointing. No Holy Ghost. Afraid and dismayed. We'll keep our heads down. We'll keep our mouths shut. And sure, it's going to be all right. David didn't do that. David made sure that the sheep were all right, and he went forward into the battle. In fact, he got down into the trench. He got down into the trench. In verse 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh the reproach away from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is he anyway? You see, David sees Goliath in a different light, because David is anointed of God and David is bold, that he should defy the armies of the living God. In verse 29, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Verse 27, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And in verse 28, his very brother, is rebuking him. His very brother despises him. And his very brother is saying to him, why are you here? What are you doing? But in Isaiah 53:3, remember, David is a foreshadow of Christ and a type of Christ. And in Isaiah 53:3, it says this, he was despised and rejected of men, and David was despised and rejected of his own brother. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And David's brother despises him. David's brother despises him, and he esteems him not. Another thread that goes through this, that it shows that David is a foreshadow of the coming Christ and the coming Messiah. And in verse 29, David's response is this, and David said, what have I now done? And he asks a question, what have I done? I'm here to fight the battle. And David says this to his brother, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And my question to the church as a whole is there not a cause? My question to the United Kingdom government, for what they're worth, is there not a cause? My question to the pastors that stand behind the sacred desk is this, is there not a cause? And there is. There's a battle to be fought. And we fight it with Christ by our side. And it's time to get fired up. And it's time to get into that battle. Is there not a cause, brother? Is there not a cause, sister? Verse 29 to 37. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the manner. And when the words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. David is in the camp. For 40 days, no one has stepped forward, not even Saul. And by the way, that's who Goliath's calling out. Goliath's calling out Saul. But Saul can't go and do battle because he's not anointed anymore. And God's not with him. And word spreads. Can you see it? David comes in. His brother has rebuked him. What are you doing here? Clear off and go mind the sheep. But remember, David has been anointed. God is with David. And people are looking at David and he's saying, he's not up to much. Away you go. What are you doing? Go away. Go mind the sheep. But David starts to speak boldly because he's anointed of God. And the whole army are saying, who's this? Who is this? Have you heard what this boy's saying? And it spreads. One man anointed of God. One. Just one. And it spreads. It spreads like wildfire. It spreads through the ranks of the Israelite army. And it gets to the ears of Saul. And somebody says to Saul, have you heard what this guy's saying? Who is he? This is David from Bethlehem. This is David from Bethlehem. Have you heard what he's saying about Goliath? Go and get him, bring him forward. Boldness. One man stepped in, anointed of God, and one man changes everything. The scene now changes. What David is saying spreads around the Israelite army. His boldness. Have you heard this? Who is this? Have you heard the words? One man with boldness, one man anointed of God can change the United Kingdom. One man anointed, one man with boldness can change this wee land that I love called Ulster. This wee land that I love. One man anointed of God can do that. In verse 38 of the chapter, let's go down to it. In verse 38. David is now before Saul. Word has got out. Bring him before me. Let's hear what he has to say. And David is before Saul. And listen. And Saul armed David. We'll go to verse 36 first of all. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. David is telling Saul about his training. And David is confident before Saul. And David says, as the lion and the bear on Bethlehem's hills, whenever I was minding the sheep, so shall it be with this Philistine. So shall it be. In verse 33, if you go back again, and Saul said to David, thou art not able. Can you see where Saul's at? Saul's looking at David. And Saul says to David, I've heard what you've said. The whole army has heard what you have said. He says, but you are not able. Because Saul's looking at David as he is in the eye of the flesh. But God's looking at David from the eye of the Spirit, who David is through God and through his anointing. And Saul says to David, you aren't able, David. You aren't able to do the warfare. And in verse 38, and Saul armed David with his armor. This is important. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. Saul tries to send David to the battle with the same armor as Goliath, relying on man-made ways, to do spiritual warfare. Because remember, we said last week, the spirit that was behind Goliath, the 666, we can't go into it again, it's too much. The Antichrist spirit that was behind Goliath, you see, it wasn't Goliath. It was the spirit that was behind Goliath, the Antichrist spirit. And now we have the king of Israel, telling this young man, David, who's bold, who is speaking bold words, not because of who he is, because of his infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's what makes the difference. When God is with you, it makes the difference. And Saul says, you're not able. You're not able, David. Have you seen this Goliath? And Saul tries to send David out to do spiritual warfare in man's armor. How do you know that? Well, I'll show you in verse 5. Go back to verse 5. He tries to send him out. Let's read it. And Goliath, this is Goliath, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. So Saul is sending David out with the same armor as the world, as Goliath. That's what he's trying to do. And he's the king. And David's armor is spiritual. We have to realize in spiritual warfare, your armor is spiritual. And David's armor is spiritual. David knows his God will fight for him. And David has boldness because of his God. David's armor is spiritual. It's not of man. And Saul tries to put the armor of the world on David. And that speaks volumes. Saul giving David his armor is a sign of his unbelief in God. You have a situation now where there's no anointing upon the king. And the very fact that Saul tries to give David that armor, it shows you where Saul is in his relationship with God. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. In verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor. So he tries to put this armor on. And he is said to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. He has said, it means he attempted to go with the armor that Saul had put on him. And brother and sister, it's hard to fight spiritual battles when you're trying to put on your own armor. You're trying to arm yourself. You're trying to work it out yourself, and young person as well, going through university and school. There's so much going on in life. You cannot, as a blood-bought believer, fight spiritual battles in your own strength, and you cannot put on the armor of the world. You will be defeated in those battles. Only can you gain the victory by putting on Christ. Putting on Christ. I have not proved these, David says. He says it to Saul. I have to put these off. I have not proved these. But he had proved the anointing of God that was imparted to him by Samuel in Bethlehem, and the sweet communion with God in Bethlehem's hills one shepherd to another, and how to do battle with the enemy. David was in training on Bethlehem's hills for this moment. You see, he had proved the sweet communion, one shepherd to another. One shepherd to another on Bethlehem's hills. You see, David was alone with God, alone with the shepherd, minding the sheep, looking after the sheep, and the shepherd was ministering unto him. And nobody would have given David a second thought. Nobody. But Christ had him on Bethlehem's hills for training. He was on his own. And Christ was training him. And there was sweet communion. Do you ever get alone with Christ? Life's busy, isn't it? So much going on. Hustle and bustle. This, that, and the other. But you'll hear the words, the sweet communion of your Savior, when you get alone. And not only that, you'll gain strength. You want strength for today? You want peace of mind for today? You want to know God's where for you in your life? Well, then you get alone with Christ. You get alone with Christ and you listen for the still small voice. You have to make time. Get to your Bethlehem Hill. Get to your Bethlehem Hill and sit and just wait. There's sweet moments, you know. Whenever I go to those places, and life can be busy, and you hear the Savior saying to you, you go to get up, you think you're finished, and you hear the Savior saying, tarry a little while longer. Tarry a little while longer, brother. Tarry a little while longer, sister, because I've got something to tell you. But you're too busy. And then life starts to fall apart. And the spiritual warfare comes. And you try to sort it out on your own. And you can't. You can't fight spiritual battles without covering yourself in Christ. Get to your Bethlehem Hill and tarry a little while with your Savior in sweet communion. This battle has turned now. This battle will turn shortly from a physical mismatch. It will now turn from a physical mismatch to a spiritual mismatch. This battle is about to turn on its head. Things are about to change. Let's read on. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I think that's wonderful. Do you get that? Here comes the shepherd. Staff in his hand, wee bag with stones in it. Here he comes. And he draws up and he's looking at Goliath. And he's standing the shepherd. The shepherd's standing in the valley. He's entered the valley. And here's the Antichrist. Here's the world. Here's the enemy. And the shepherd walks into the valley and he stands with his staff. And he just looks at him. No armor. No fleshy armor of the eye. But he's filled with the Holy Ghost. And God's with him. Wonderful verse. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. Now that's important. I need you to remember that. That's important. And the man that bare the shield went before him. I want you to remember that. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. You might look at somebody who walks in here. It wouldn't happen here anyway, I know that. But never look at somebody and think they're not up to much. Because you don't know what God's going to do with that person. You don't know what God's going to do. And it said it there. The Philistine looked upon and saw David, and he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy of a fair countenance. He disdained him. Verses 44 to 47. 43, first of all. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? Now listen to the words. Listen to the way he speaks to David. That thou comest to me with staves, and the Philistines cursed David by his gods. So he's cursing David. He's mocking David. Was Christ not mocked? Do you see the thread that runs through all this scripture? David, the foreshadow and the type of Christ, he's being mocked in the valley. The shepherd is being mocked in the valley. Verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, this is important, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. So the Philistine is the world. And the world says to you, come to me. But when it's done and dusted in the world, there's nothing but dismay. There's nothing but dismay and fear, because there's nothing for you in the world. And the enemy says, come to me. Come into the world. And then it chews you up and it spits you out, and then you're done. But listen on. And I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. But Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you eternal life. The Philistine is the world. And David is a picture of Christ. You go to the world, chewed up, spat out. But Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you eternal life. And I will put a robe of righteousness upon your shoulders and a crown upon your head. And I will call you kings and priests of the living God. That's what Christ does. That's what our Savior does. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But listen, and this is the key. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Goliath's in trouble. And this has now changed. David is standing before Goliath with his staff and his bag. And Goliath's mocking him. But David, the shepherd, has entered the valley. And now there's going to be warfare. And the physical battle has changed to a spiritual battle. And it's now a complete mismatch. This is now a complete mismatch. Verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hands, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That all the earth may know. He didn't say that all the earth may know that I am King David. No. He didn't say all the earth will know my name David. No, he didn't say that. Because he's got the right track and he's filled with the Holy Ghost. And he's anointed of God. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You see, it's not about the flesh. It's about proclaiming God's name. And I want the whole of the United Kingdom to know that there is a God. And he saves. And he restores. The backslider. He's a healer. He's a baptizer. And I want Ulster to know in its despair and in its dismay that there is a God. And there's still hope. There's still hope in the land. And there's still hope for the people. All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. All the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth. And this assembly knows that the Lord saveth, does he not? What a saviour. That's where we need to get back to. Verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, listen to the words, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. For 40 days, there was thousands lined up. Thousands lined up. And not one of them would budge, including the king. But one man anointed of God steps in. And he walks down into the valley, the shepherd, anointed of the Holy Ghost. A picture of the Father sending the Son to Golgotha, where he crushed the serpent's head. He bruised the head of the serpent. And here comes David, the shepherd, a type of Christ. And he walks down into the valley with a staff in his bag, the shepherd. And he eyeballs the enemy. And then he runs toward. You see, the cross was a victory. Christ was never a victim. He was in control of it all. And he went to the cross. And he led spiritual warfare. And he was a victor. And he bruised the head of the serpent. And now here we have the shepherd again, going into the valley. And here's the spiritual warfare. And he runs and he hastes towards Goliath. Can you see the picture? What must Goliath be thinking now? He's running and he's hasting. He's running toward Goliath. What must Goliath be thinking? I'll tell you what he's thinking. This guy's not afraid of me. The next question is, why? He's no armor on. What's going on? You can be sure now that Goliath's starting to think in his head, hold on a second, what's going on here? What's going on with this young man? And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. he fell upon his face to the earth. 1 Samuel 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5. Let's read a few verses, starting at verse 1. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, that's their god, and set it by Dagon. So the ark of the covenant is beside Dagon, the false god. Look what happens. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord, and so did Goliath. He fell on his face. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Set him up. He's fell on his face. Let's set him up again. And when they arose early in the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face again to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Goliath's head was cut off. Dagon's head's cut off. And he's lying on his face just like Goliath. But why the palms? Why the palms? That's strange, isn't it? Listen, why did he take off the palms? I'll tell you why. Because that's what the Philistines did whenever they defeated armies and enemies. And taking off the palms means complete humiliation of your enemy. Complete humiliation of your enemy. And when Christ comes back to the valley of Jehoshaphat, there's going to be complete humiliation of the enemy. That's why Dagon's palms are gone. Christ's not coming to muck about, brother. Christ's not coming to muck about, sister. Christ's coming to do warfare, and there will be complete obliteration and complete humiliation of his enemies. And he's going to leave the stump. I'm waiting on my Savior and my Lord. I'm waiting on Christ. And I know I'm on the winning team. This world can bark all at once. I don't really care, to be honest. I'm waiting on my Savior. And with his strength, I will do spiritual warfare in his strength until he come. And then when he comes, I'll rule and reign in the new heaven and the new earth. And so will you. Get ready, because you're going to rule and you're going to reign. First Timothy 6. Quick verse, 1 Timothy 6 and 12. It's Paul speaking to Timothy, his convert. And listen to what he says. Paul's about to pass. Paul's race is over. And he's passing the baton to Timothy. And you pass your baton to your children. Pass your baton to your loved ones when they're saved. And he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. They called the elect of God. Christ says, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life, which will come. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. It means to run your race and run it well. The goal is eternal life, which is set before you. And pass your baton, by the way. Here's the baton, you run with it, because I'm done. There you go. Pass your baton. Go, run. That's what that means. And David runs into the enemy. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. A sling and a stone. Christ directed the stone, by the way. Right into the forehead. And he fell on his face. Just like their false god Dagon. Obliterated in the valley. Spiritual warfare is done. And Christ is the victor. Christ went to the cross. And there was a great victory. The greatest scene of time that has ever been known and ever will be known is God hanging on a cross to redeem your soul. God on a cross. You want a sign? There's your sign. I hear about churches chasing signs and wonders. There's no greater a sign than Christ on the cross. God hanging on a cross to redeem your soul. What more sign do you want? That's all I want. That's all you'll ever need. Christ on the cross, bearing away your sins. What a savior. So David prevailed over the Philistine and with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. Now listen, because we talked about this earlier. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him. And what did he do? And cut off his head therewith. Off of the head and just leave the stump. Just like Dagon beside the ark. Total obliteration. Total humiliation. You see, for 40 days, there was humiliation of Israel. Now it's flipped. Because of spiritual warfare. And God has got involved. And now there's humiliation. But it's not on Israel. It's not on God's people. It's on the enemy. Where's your giant now? He's lying in the valley with his head cut off. Because God got involved. God got involved. He anointed a man. Sent him from Bethlehem into the valley. And he says, you go and take that giant's head off. And you've my authority to do it, by the way. Need to finish. Will you tell the children? Done, Denise, thanks. Need to finish. One more point. 50 to 51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. You see, the enemy's fleeing now because their key man's gone. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Akron. And I want to read on. I want to bring you to a verse. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. I want to ask you a question, and we talked about it earlier on. There was a man in the valley carrying Goliath's shield. There was a man in the valley carrying Goliath's shield. There's no word of him now. There's no word of him. But let's go to Ephesians 6 and 16. Just quickly to finish. Ephesians 6 and 16. And it speaks of the whole armor of God. But I want to bring you to a verse. And it's verse 16, Ephesians 6 and 16, and I want to look at two words. Above all. Above all what? And you miss that. Above all. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all. Above everything else. Make sure you've got your shield. Where's the man that was carrying Goliath's shield? He's fled. There's no word of him. But your shield is Christ. And your shield will never flee. And your shield will never leave you. Why is the shield so important? Very simple. The shield in those days covered your head to your toes. So all the fiery darts of the enemy will be quenched. Therefore, That tells me, cover yourself with faith from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And my faith is in Christ, who said he will never leave me nor forsake me. But Goliath's man in front of him with a shield fled. But Christ says, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee. And get your shield up, because your faith shield will cover your crown to your souls, and there won't be one dart that will impact your life. Above all, it says, above it all, Romans 16 and 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Speaking of the cross. Speaking of the cross. And David, a foreshadow and a type of Christ, went into the valley. The shepherd went into the valley. And he met the enemy. And he smote him and he cut off his head. Goliath's head was rolling on the floor. And when Christ went to the cross, Satan's head done the same. Satan's head done the very same. The victory was won. And so through all of this scripture, through all of part one and part two, David, a foreshadow and a pointing to the Christ, the Messiah. David, an anointed king in Bethlehem. A shepherd risking his life for his sheep from the tribe of Judah, full of the Holy Ghost anointing. His name means beloved, despised by his brethren. Entered the valley to do battle, speaking of the cross. Took the enemy's head off and Christ bruised the serpent's head. He won the battle. And as it says in verse 47, and I know, brother, and you know, sister. And all the assembly will know that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. And that's what I'm going to leave you with. All the assembly knows that the Lord will do the warfare. The Lord will do the battle. Because the Lord saves. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a beautiful Savior. And when you go for your warfare, and you're going through your life, don't reach for your own hands. Don't reach for your own thoughts. Don't reach for your own armor. Get yourself to Bethlehem's Hill and commune with your Savior. And that's where you'll meet your battles. But you'll win your battles. Praise his name. Thank you. God bless.